What up, fam? On this episode of the Snapback Sports Pod, we recap All-Star Weekend in Cleveland, Ohio. Did I actually like Cleveland? You'll find out. And many more stories on my trip there. We talk about the second half, or rather the third, of the NBA season. We're coming to a close. Chris Paul is out. Who's going to win the West? Who's going to win the East? We talk about Juwan Howard. Should he be fired? Should he be suspended? And we check in with Eagleson, because hockey has 72 hours.
Snapback fam, new app.
The Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson.
I'm a Raven. He's on all year, every year.
Jackson, Jackson himself.
Oh, he broke his ankles. A play. Oh, blocked by James.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
For the Philadelphia Eagles, the long drought is over.
Bryant with the jumper.
What's up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Sederman. Joining me today, as always, is my co-host and longtime best friend, Abe Granoff. Abe, what is on your mind today?
Jack, you're breaking out a little bit.
Why?
Your skin. Did you happen to wipe off the makeup before you went to bed last night?
Yeah, they gave me a lot of wipes, and it took like five to get the makeup off.
Did you feel pretty?
No.
Was that your first time doing makeup?
First time doing makeup, had the official TNT bleacher makeup lady, Tracy. She was quite nice. When you actually look in the mirror, like, because they only do the stuff that's going to be seen on TV. So it's like that part. And then it's also done for TV. So it actually doesn't, like, look good in person. Like, there's some people who do, like, sideline reporting. So the makeup actually is supposed to look somewhat better. I don't know. It makes you look a little bit like a clown show.
I think that you should just become a casual makeup wearer from time to time. I mean, it's your new thing. But no, on TV.
No comment on the biceps? Like, I saw a lot of comments that, like...
No, mine are looking good. I just did back and bice today.
I was wearing a Cuts t-shirt, and everyone was like, damn, the bice look big.
Was not like, damn, the bice look big. Everyone was like, throw a fucking tie on.
Yeah, everyone was saying that.
Like, we're not Big M. We don't need to wear suits, but saw you on TV. That was weird as fuck. Mm. What else is on my mind? Ooh, let's talk about Tick Pick for a second. So you were in Cleveland this weekend, which you fell in love with Cleveland. For
we'll
Cleveland,
talk about
that
it.
Is.
Yeah.
For Cleveland, that is. And I assume when you were there, one of your first nights, you had oysters at dinner?
Yes.
And you tweeted something very interesting. And I think I've had this conversation with my friends plenty of times before. You tweeted, how many oysters could you eat in an hour? Saying that it's not a competition. However, you're eating, you're going for it.
You're trying to be uncomfortable.
Right. So I know that I've said a lot about food challenges in the past. When I saw that tweet, I didn't respond right away. First thought in my head was 60, 75. And then I'm looking at the replies and I see our boy Kyle from Tick Pick, who has the audacity to say 30. Anyone who says more is lying. I almost threw my phone across the room. So now I've set something up with Tick Pick where I will be consuming as many oysters as possible in 1 hour. And in return, once I eat 30 in probably 15 minutes, I will be going to the Sixers NBA Finals game, which is just an easy, like, 30. Jack, last night I went out to dinner and I got mussels as an appetizer, and there were probably 20 to 30 mussels, and I was just as hungry as I was. And I feel like mussels are actually harder to take down than oysters.
Pretty similar.
What was the consensus at the table?
So, first of all, let's just not skip over the second part of that clause, which is Sixers NBA Finals game. I don't know if that means he's going to buy you NBA 2K23.
No. Like, he said, I said tickets to any Sixers game I want, and he said deal. So, I'm going to go to the NBA Finals.
But you also said the Sixers. So, that's where I think.
Correct.
Just for people at home, they may
correct.
Be confused.
Focus on the fish.
Okay. So, at the conversation we asked the waiter, and he said, yeah, probably similar, 50, 60, 70 is like a range. You know, it's a bigger range. But, and then we did some research. Someone ate like 481. I think it's the world record.
Duh.
Someone ate like, I think it was like 113 in 3 minutes.
I could eat 30 in probably 5 minutes.
But could you imagine? I think that's cap. But, okay, to eat 30 in 5 minutes, do you know what that would be like? It would be like scooping them all into a pitcher and drinking saltwater boogers. Like, oh, that's...
No, it wouldn't. It's yes, it would taking be. A little bit in each thing, putting a little sauce on it, and throwing it back.
You wouldn't be able to speed do it like that.
Okay, well, and not 5 minutes, but I'm talking about in an hour, I think 60 is easy.
I don't think it's easy. I think
Did you guys try when you were eating to see how many you could eat, or were you doing it for enjoyment?
No, we only had two each. We had
two oysters?
Yeah, we had other courses. We had other courses on the way. But Cleveland. Let's talk about Cleveland for a little. So
your little baby Cleveland.
I went
so
into
cute.
Cleveland. I went into Cleveland thinking, like, this is going to be the worst city ever. It's going to be cold. It's going to be miserable. It's just going to be Cleveland. Like, everyone hates Cleveland. I don't think I was far off from that upon leaving. But the food was shockingly impressive. Like, we went to some fresh market Chipotle style place called Rebel. We're not really sure.
Not a free ad.
Was the best lunch I have ever had.
It's not, like, better than Cava.
It would think about Cava.
Nope. Don't say times this. Nope. Cava's in a league of its own.
I promise you, because this was Cava, but, like, fresh ingredient, it was spectacular.
Okay, then how does this place stack up to Botabee?
Botabee is slightly different than that, and you got to travel across international waters for that. We went to Marble Room. It was in this big hotel, crazy ceiling. They had a live saxophone and violinist. It was pretty cool. We had the oysters. We had a truffle mac lobster, 2-pound lobster, scooped out, replaced with truffle mac.
Company card.
Company card. And we had a ribeye. At that dinner, Jalen Rose sat down next to Casey.
Is the hairline as pristine in real life as it is on television?
He was actually wearing a headpiece, which was very interesting. Casey actually is infatuated with famous, wealthy people. And I didn't know this. And so, you know, we've interviewed, obviously, celebrities before. We've talked about how it kind of... It doesn't make them less cool. It
humanizes.
It humanizes. That's the word. I guess he's never had that experience before, and which is odd because growing up, like, we met Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and some, but I guess he was so young. So at this age, it's actually the wealth first, but then it's the celeb fame. So it's like the combo of the two. And I think the third factor is we grew up Michigan fans. He was like he couldn't speak or focus on me. Because he was just
because,
like,
of Jalen Rose.
Right, because of Jalen Rose. So Jalen Rose sat down next to him, actually had him turn on. Jalen had the bar turn on the Michigan game, which is ironic given the events of the weekend. But that place was fantastic. The funniest part about Cleveland, though, I asked on Snap, Twitter, Instagram, in person, Uber drivers, who are all the nicest people and want to promote their little city. There's like... And by the way, I wrote that they're a small city on Twitter, and someone was like, yeah, they're the 57th. If you consider that small, then, like, 58 and on are small, too. Like, okay, yeah, that's how that works. Second, I live in New York. The city's, like, 8 miles tall, and there's 7 million people. So
also, I don't think people, like, you're giving Cleveland a lot of praise. But for people that don't know, people that know Jack Settlement, the personality, and not Jack Settlement the person. Let me fill you in on a little something.
No.
My turn. Jack went to... When did you go to Cleveland? Thursday or Friday?
Thursday, yeah.
Jack spent 4 days actually daddying the city of Cleveland. Every tweet was such a backhanded compliment. It's as if he's like, every single time, oh, this meal was fantastic. Marble this, truffle that, Jalen Rose that. For Cleveland. You got subtle Baker Mayfield shots throughout the weekend. Like, you can say that you, like, Cleveland pleasantly surprised you, but you can't, but you have to also admit that the entire weekend, while you spent it giving its praise, they were all backhanded compliments and you were actually just dunking on the city.
Well, you know, Abe, as we've mentioned many times on this podcast, a lot of what I do, it comes down to math and its calculations. Unintentionally have added hundreds of Cleveland Twitter followers because of those tweets. They actually think I'm like a Cleveland ambassador now. Football season is going to be spectacular.
Yeah, wait till you have a weekend in. wait till they sign Baker.
That's what I mean. That's gonna be the
What about
the
like when you go to like Detroit, Michigan, and you're just like going?
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. So let me
Cleveland.
Let me finish on Cleveland. Every Cleveland person suggested the same three places. So for them to say there's this incredible underrated food scene, there's three places. Right. There's literally like three, like it's Barrio, Melt, and Marble Room. Like those are the three suggestions. Although my Italian meal was spectacular too. The food was genuinely like unbelievable in Cleveland.
For Central Ohio.
Now, to get down to the thick of things, every Uber, 22-minute wait. 22-minute wait. For an Uber, one of the most bizarre things
that
I've
could
ever seen.
Be like an all-star weekend thing.
It's a Cleveland thing. Secondly, it's fucking cold. And
yeah.
Thirdly, you're in Cleveland, Ohio. Like it's literally when I okay. This is how I would describe it. It's Cleveland. Like that's all you need to say. Everything is captured in that statement. It's
you
Cleveland.
Probably didn't see the sun once this week, did you?
It was a little warm, I think, Thursday afternoon. But
I feel
Cleveland,
like Cleveland's permanently gray.
It is. Cleveland is Cleveland, and that's okay. So I'll give you my other big Cleveland story. Our friends at Buzzer, who we work with as well, had a dinner on Friday or Saturday night, and Channing Frye walked in. And so Casey had like the... You know, he's gotten over.
He wasn't starstruck by Channing Frye.
He was intrigued by Channing Frye. I kid you not. Channing Frye, one of, if not the most interesting people I've ever talked to in my life, because he is a wine connoisseur. He started his own wine company, The Chosen Family.
So Kevin, does CJ.
Kevin,
so does
yeah,
CJ.
Kevin Love is a partner. This guy was obsessed with wine, like, more than his own children. I swear to God, it was incredible to listen to. We drank a lot of wine with him. Saw him the next day. He was hungover as fuck. Crashed on Kevin Love's couch. Like, you know, just like funny shit that like we're friends and we would do that. But like, you don't think of it at that level. So that was pretty cool. Now to the festivities. To the festivities.
What festivities?
Skills challenge. I like that new format. What'd you think of it?
Okay, one thing I thought about the skills challenge. So the first part of it was
the shooting.
Yeah. The second part of it was the passing.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it looked like it on TV. Am I crazy that if you're an NBA player, there's no reason you should miss a single one of those passes?
So it did. They did like these huge frames.
Exactly.
But the target for the... harder one, but was also closer, was actually a little smaller. But I agree, the big, like, if you miss the,
you can
like
throw Alex, a chest pass, you can I'm throw sorry. A chest pass on command to half court every time.
Little Giannis, like, he just, like, you just can't put a guy of that skill level out there. Like, he just like, it's very clear why he's not in the NBA. So I thought that was fun. I like the half court shot thing. And I thought the shooting part was interesting because there was like a little bit of game theory to it. And then Garland sunk a couple fives. And Evan Mobley's a stud. He's a super skillful player. So I thought that was good. 3-point contest. You screwed me. And you owe me a lot.
I did not screw you. That's bullshit. That's bullshit. That's bullshit.
I called Kat from the top. And we.
And I told you I would place whatever bet that you wanted to. And you fucked yourself.
I did.
You fucked yourself. Don't put this blame on me.
Jack myself into a bracket format.
Yeah, Jack was texting me. Jack was texting me on Saturday night because he was not in a. He was in Cleveland, and he wanted me to place a bet for him. And we were talking about who to take. We both agreed that we like CJ. Jack liked Kat. I was down to ride Kat. But then Jack had this random epiphany that. The 3-point contest changed to a bracket rather than just the highest
have
scores
they done
move on.
A bracket in the past, maybe.
Maybe, but like, where did you get this information? All right, so to further expand on the story,
I saw a matchup prop.
That's what it was. Jack was like texting me, "Oh fuck, never mind. Kat and CJ play each other in the first round." I'm just like, all right, dude, I'm going to go pick up food, do your research, find out what's good with this little bracket thing, and then we'll place it when I get back. I was like, who do you want to bet on? He said, CJ. I said, okay. I told you I would place the bet on Cap for you.
I know.
But you, I think Ballsack Sports tweeted there was a bracket.
No, Ballsack Sports trustworthy. It would have been like ESPN or something. Anyways, I nailed Cat. He crushed the con. I didn't realize he finished with one of the highest final round scores ever.
Yeah, that's kind of bullshit, though, because now they're adding in this Mountain Dew balls, shot, yeah, the two-point rack, all this shit.
It was cool, though. It was cool. And congrats to Cat for that. Now, the dunk contest.
Oh, my fuck.
I don't
know. How do we fix it?
Okay, two things. It'll be on Here to Argue tomorrow, so tune into that. Nice plug. One, I think you pull the timer back in. If you leave the ground, that's an attempt. How is that not an attempt?
Because I get it. But like on an alley-oop, if your partner fucks up the pass and you jump up, like,
then that's part of the dunk. Is and you know what?
I don't think we need to go full strict hardo on like the thing.
I think we do. The Jalen Green thing was one of the more egregious things I've ever seen in my life.
Let's start from the beginning. Times. Cole Anthony comes out and does the Tim thing, right? My friend.
And that's why you wouldn't do the timer, by the way, because it was like a fun thing. It took a little
time. It was not fun. First off, it was not fun.
But it was funny.
That's what I wanted to talk about.
You're not a New Yorker.
So I was talking to our buddy Zach Greenberg, who lives in LA, and he put it perfectly. The Cole Anthony thing was funny at first. It took way too long. And then it was like enough. It was like the class clown that doesn't know when to stop. The dancing was shitty and annoying. Like, just grab the fucking ball and dunk it. His dad looked pissed off. I didn't stay up for the entire dunk contest That's how boring it was. That's how boring it was. But that Cole Anthony actually got me, like, I was having like anxiety from watching him, like, not only take 15 minutes to take the ball, but another 15 to actually do a dunk.
The moving of his
dad and when he was like spot. When he oh my god yeah because like a quarter of an inch, dude, what? And like his first 19 attempts on that Tim's dunk, I was like, oh shit, he legitimately cannot reach rim in Tim's. Like, he's struggling to get up there.
Then he banged it. I thought that was impressive.
I hate how they give like 45 points when these guys are doing dunks on their ninth attempt. Like, there's an element of surprise that factors in to the dunk.
That's why.
Like, you shouldn't get a 50 if nobody got a 50, but you shouldn't get a 50 if it's not on your first try ever.
See, that's where I'm like so about it, because all the dunks have been done, right? So they have to come up with these new dunks. And so to get it, like, Obi's behind the back over top of someone on try number two, how is that not a 50? Because of what? Abe, then I see everyone, that's the worst dunk contest ever. Remember Zach LaVine. And they're showing him doing the behind-the-back dunk that Obi did over another human being, and he got a 44 in it. Like, that's a little ridiculous to me. I think change it back to the timer. Once their skit is over and they're into the dunky mode, start the timer if you still want to have the fun part. Part two to fixing the dunk contest. You just have to
Don't have Juan Toscano-Anderson.
You just don't have Juan Toscano-Anderson. I thought Obi's dunks were
like, if Aaron Gordon wasn't holding a grudge over the slam dunk contest judges for 2016, then we would actually still have good. Like, these judges.
Obi deserved to be in there, and he can put up some really, really
good. I think Jalen Green did too, except he went 1 of 9. Right. I actually think Ben Simmons has a better 3-point career percentage than those players did in dunks on Saturday.
Did you
night.
Catch the Jalen Green part of the skip for Top Shot?
Yeah, I saw him put the chain on.
Yeah, the chain on. So,
and then I was like, he's going to dunk with the chain. Like, you're telling me he just put a chain on, did a Top Shot commercial, whatever. They paid him a few hundred thousand to literally throw a chain on, and then he just didn't even do that dunk, took it off, and just forgot about it.
And then Ja the next night in a live game is going to, like, hit his head on the top of the backboard. Like, why wouldn't he do the dunk? That's what I don't understand. Why wouldn't these guys do the dunk? It's so good for your brand. Aaron Gordon's brand got carried for half a decade by losing a dunk contest because he was really good at it. Blake Griffin's career, Abe, he got a 10-year deal with Kia for jumping over a low-top car. It's not even like a G-Wagon.
A sedan.
Right? Like, it's not even that high. It's shorter than the average person. That's what I don't understand. It's great for the brand. I get why LeBron's not going to do it because he's hashtag Wash King. But, like, you're Ja Morant. Zion, if he could even jump anymore, like, he should be in that shit. I think Obi should continue to do it. Like, don't just win. Like, get better and continue to win.
My thing is, did these guys even practice?
So, it's funny. I was with Cole earlier in the day, actually. And we were like, what are you going to do? He's like, I have some tricks up my sleeve. And I was like, are you practicing? Like, what? And they're like, yeah, we like practice a little. And I actually know the guy who's in charge of practicing with these guys. They practice, but it's not like they're not putting the time and effort into
it. The 3-point contest guys legitimately do the 3-point contest in their own practice court.
But like 5 times probably, you know. And same with the dunkers, same thing. The skills challenge guys probably don't practice at all.
I mean, the rookies were running 1 mile an hour.
That was crazy. Meanwhile, the Auntie brothers are sprinting. It's just a shame they can't hit a mid-range jump shot. So that was Saturday night.
I was watching the skills challenge with my girlfriend on Saturday night, and I was like, those three are all brothers. And they're like, she's like, they all play in the NBA? I was like, eh. She's like, which one plays in the NBA? I was like, that one, pointing at Giannis. She goes, is he good? I was like,
it's complicated. It's complicated. He's like the best player ever, but he's the least skilled player.
I don't get it. She was like, I don't get it. Like, why are they in it if these guys aren't in the NBA? And I was just like, beats me.
Yeah.
Beats me why the fuck Alex Antetokounmpo is here.
It was crazy. But Team Cavs won. The Cleveland crowd, once again, Cleveland's Rocket Mortgage Center or Arena, whatever it was called, was super nice. And, Jack's Casino, which I went to, was super nice as well. The name of the casino was Jack's.
Yeah, there was also.
They have a lot of Jack's money also, but whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You'll get some of their money, but it's a Jack thing, you know? Yeah. You'll get some of theirs, I'll get some of yours. And this is like, people that don't know sports crack me up. So, like, I'm watching last night, again, with my girlfriend, the All-Star game, and Steph Curry's getting introduced, and he got booed all weekend, right? She was like, wait, why is everyone getting cheered, but he's getting booed? I was like, because he beat them a lot of times in the finals. She goes, so they're booing him because he's good? And I was like, yes. Now that's how it works.
We come from a position of loathing and hatred in the sports world. No celebration, which is ironic because as we move to Sunday's festivities, the All 75 was a grandeur exhibit of celebration.
Grand is a word to put it. I mean, fucking land the plane, Jesus Christ! Oh, what are these? God. What are these haiku poems by J.B. Smoove and Usher forwards dominating the paint, stretch the floor, guards punishing the rim, the point of attack, it's the funny. Front line in war.
From my
the point
view,
guards.
From my view, I could see the like the words going. Or
the teleprompter.
Yeah, that word. And like
you don't, you don't use teleprompters when you're
on
TV, do
no,
you?
I'm straight up just live from the gut. That's where my stutter kicks in from time to time. But funny, we talked about it a little, the going on TV, the makeup, that whole situation. But I want to tell a funny story from the green room that I think people will appreciate. So
free food,
the
alpha?
Entrees. I think you probably could have drank, but I didn't have it. I'm trying to think if there was alcohol or not. You know, it's technically work for some of those weirdos. Yeah. So I finish at 4:30, go to the green room. It was like me in exchange for Isaiah Thomas on set, which is just hilarious. We go down to the green room, and Alex was like, hey, do you want to leave the stadium? You can get back in, get a drink. And I was like, I don't know. I think I'll just like hang and see what happens in here because it was the TNT bleacher green room. So like Lefko comes in, who I know. And then like Ernie comes in and like he's talking and it's like bizarre because it's
how
like
tall is Ernie?
Ernie's actually probably like 6 feet tall, maybe 5'10", 5'11", but like not like a little dude by like that you would think is like this little nerdy guy. Like he's a cool guy in person. Then this behemoth of a human being walks in with his black fur jacket and Shaquille O'Neal's there. And then Chuck walks in. So they've been in there for a little. It was actually Chuck's birthday. And I think this is telling to who they are. Like you would expect them to talk shit on air, but like, you never know. Is that actually what it's like off the air? Or, you know, do they just kind of do it for TV? Shaq's about to go to the bathroom. He sees Chuck putting on his 75 blazer. And he's like, Charles, who the fuck gave you one of those? You're not one of the 75 greatest players ever. And I wish I could do the Chuck impression because it would be so much better. But
Shaq, Charles, won't you shut your fat ass up?
Right. But Charles was essentially like, well, Shaq, you can fly down to Auburn. You can see my statue outside the arena. And then hop on your plane and, you know, go to Philadelphia. I've got a statue there too. And Shaq's like, yeah, well, you can, once you're done in Philly, you can fly out west and you can see my statue outside the state. Like, these two idiots are fighting. They're clearly like two Hall of Fame players. Like, they're fighting over nothing. And then, of course,
Jack, Kenny, we made a podcast out of that.
I know. But then, of course, Kenny Smith is sitting on the couch next to me. And Chuck's like, Kenny, where's your jacket? And Charles, like, felt bad, which was funny. And he was like, this guy told me to say it for $50. Like, obviously, he's just like a dickhead.
So, pointed at you?
No, a different guy. But Reggie Miller was in there. It was cool. It was interesting to be around those people. And then I went to the game. That's the first quarter of that game is as bad as it gets.
Miserable.
Like, you don't. You could play like slow defense, right? Like what they did in the third quarter or towards the end of quarters for charity, like. You don't need to play your fourth quarter defense in the first, but like you don't have to just let people. But then they started guarding Steph. And I don't know, maybe Steph found his jump shot because he's been pretty cold lately.
I mean, he put up 50, Jack.
50 on 16 threes. He choked in the fourth, though, as per
usual. So I rode with you because I watched the NBA TV. I rode LeBron, All-Star Game MVP. I fell asleep on my couch during the fourth quarter and I woke up and the game was over and I looked on my phone. It was like Team LeBron wins by 3 points after LeBron hits game winning thing has 24 points. I'm just like, fuck. Yes. Yes.
Wait,
log on Twitter. After I got that notification, I type in All-Star Game MVP and I see Steph had 50 and I didn't get it. I was like delirious, like in my transition from the couch to the bed. I missed the end of the game, and I see LeBron hits dagger, and I was like, "Yes, he had a game winner and won the MVP. Let's go!" And he didn't.
So it was pretty crazy to, you know, betting on the games is funny because it's supposed to add like added interest, but in the same vein, it's like. I was literally rooting against Steph from having the greatest All-Star game. Like, there was a certain point when he reached 38 and he had hit, whatever, 39, hit 13 threes. I was like, okay, it's over. Like, he's obviously.
No, I was hoping when I was awake for it that Durant won and Embiid would have gotten it.
Right, yeah. Embiid definitely would have had a chance as well. But Curry.
How good is he?
Curry was magical. And the irony is, like, I'd still take that LeBron bet 9 times out of 10. They were force-feeding him. He was a brick. Like, he couldn't come close to finding the bottom of the net. And he still managed, like, 24, 26, hit the game winner. Like, if Steph scores under 40, they probably just give him the award. But you score 50, 1 of 9 in the fourth quarter. Like, he couldn't make the...
Classic Steph.
He couldn't make that game-winning three. It was
Jokic
a bummer.
Nick Wright was happy this morning. Jokic on the bench. Steph 1 of 9, LeBron game winning shot.
A big night for him. The All 75 team was announced at halftime. Some funny moments, obviously. MJ shows up, probably wasted.
How was he so happy? Was he just blacked out?
He was very, very happy. It's rare to see him like that. The Ray Allen KG thing was pretty funny. KG, his face was definitely humorous. It was cool to see, like, all those legends in the building. You heard Isaiah Thomas say on air, like, if you skip this, that's, like, a really weird move. I think the players he was talking about was, like, Bird and then Russ. Like, for Russell Westbrook, just because he wasn't playing well or maybe he just actually wanted a break, I don't know. But your honor is a top 75 player, Aben. 25 years when they do this for the 100 best players. Where will it be? And name one player now who's maybe like could be there in 25 years.
Joel Embiid.
Okay, give me like a sleeper.
Cam Reddish.
Cam Reddish.
Perennial All-Star Cam Reddish.
And what team will be posting his congratulations?
New York, stand up, baby. We just gotta get Tibbs out of there and give him this fair shot.
Facts. Yeah, it was cool. I find it funny
when they do this again in 75 years and you and I are
25 years. 25.
In 25 years?
They did 50 25 years ago. And so they actually add, but they have to cut it off. Like,
you have to take certain people out.
Ooh, change the list.
Like, what happened? All right, so in 25 years, Giannis will be in there. Luka will be in there.
Well, Giannis is already in there.
Is he? Okay, Luka will be in there.
Right.
Ja Morant, Embiid. Like, people got to come out.
Bronny Jr.
The Shanghai Sharks will be posting him and LeBron lifting the championship trophy together. But no, I feel like you have to remove certain people. Like, you're telling me that you're locked in. Like,
no, they add 25. They add 25.
So in 50 years, it's going to be the top 125.
No, that's
people.
What I'm saying is you got to lock into 100, and then
and
maybe
then
you
change
remove.
The list.
Right. Then you. But imagine you're voted. Like, did you see ESPN release a ranking? Like, they have Dame at number 75. Like, in 25 years, does he get knocked out? Maybe. I don't know.
I think they should knock people out, and they should make it public.
And they should
remove their jacket off of them and put it on the other person, no matter what the size difference is.
I did think it was cool that they kind of planned and coordinated. I didn't realize to be in Cleveland. Like, I think that had to do with the whole thing. Like, it was kind of for LeBron, which was pretty cool for the second best player.
LeBron was treating this entire weekend like he was hosting like a party at his house.
Yes. Yes.
It was like so.
Well, he was, but the weirdest thing he said.
You don't play there anymore.
No,
the home team has two. Like, it started in the press conference where he was like, Cleveland has three All Stars.
Yeah.
Darius, yeah. Jarrett, and me. What? <No. laughs> How many All Stars do the Lakers have? None?
Yeah.
Do the Heat have two All Stars now, too? That was weird. And then, like, when they're announcing him in the starting lineup last night, he does a little this, he yells. And then the All-NBA 75, he's the last one out of the forwards announced. He's like, it genuinely looks like he was hosting a party and wanted everyone to say, thank you for having us.
Yes.
It was so bizarre out of him this weekend.
It was very LeBron. That's become his end of career kind of style.
As brutal as possible?
No. Not that it's all about him, but he's a narrative guy. That's why we bet on him to win the MVP. And if Steph didn't freaking ruin it, the real kid from Akron, then it would have been a cool story. But I did go to the St. Vincent St. Mary's gym. That was pretty cool. Coach Drew
Joyce.
Yeah, Drew Joyce. He was
actually
there.
My name in a group me.
Really? Yeah. Wow. You really love LeBron James, huh? All right, well, that's All-Star Weekend. After the break, there is no NBA for 3 days, but we got to talk about the second half. Not really second half, the final third of the NBA season. Juwan Howard is fist fighting. And speaking of fist fighting, we'll talk a little hockey with our boy Eagleson. We'll be right back.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, fam, we are back. I think it's like 22 to 25 games. It's not really a break. I mean, it's a break, but it's not really like the halfway point. There's only so many to go. Knicks essentially eliminated from playoff contention, so I will I will spare everyone.
You're
three and a half
games out, but I saw your schedule.
Our schedule's brutal, and at this point, I think it's best.
I think we got like 23 games left or something.
Yeah, finish low in the East. Get a pick. Waste it. I don't know. NFT it. Do something.
Zion, Donovan Mitchell, championship.
Yeah, trade for, you know, the superstars that we may get. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, I had some opinions on national television, and I'm curious your thoughts. I picked the Nuggets. Now, this is a value play. But I picked the Nuggets.
There's always value in cuties.
I picked the Nuggets to come out of the West. Not winner up, but to come out of the West. I think they're like 18 to 1, maybe something like that. Thoughts? Murray? I was talking with someone in the green room. Sources. I actually should source this. Jamal Murray set to make his return in the next 2 weeks. And the Nuggets are willing, not willing. They want Jamal to feel like it's his choice when he's ready, but they are like pretty much at medical clearance. Michael Porter Jr. was at shoot around, but he's a little bit further away. They said when he stands up and shoots, the doctors say, Michael, if you jump, we're going to have to like tackle you and take you to the ground. So he's got a little bit of work to do, but Nuggets team is decent. The West with Chris Paul's injury, Draymond Green right now, Steph's been cold. I don't feel like there's Steph's been cold.
Jackie had 50 last night.
Okay, that wasn't an all-star game. Outside of that, he's been really, really bad. I think the West is as wide open as we've ever seen. Lakers, in my opinion, are now done with the AD injury. I thought if he was healthy, I would have liked them as a flyer with an opportunity, but no shot now, in my opinion. You like that Nuggets call? You think they're cutie? Hey, the West could be a conference of cuties to get to the title. And then lose to the Beast.
You're right. You know what? You're 1,000% right. A cutie. That's not true. I don't consider the Suns a cutie anymore. They made the finals.
Cincy.
What?
Cincy.
Yeah, but like, they call it lightning in a bottle, the Bengals. Right. You're right. The West is a content of chock full of cuties. But yeah, there's levels to the cuties.
Yeah.
There's a 0% chance the Nuggets go to the NBA Finals. Zero.
Really? Why?
Zero.
Wait, I don't get why. Is this your deep inbred hatred for Nikola Jokic? Like, he's
Hate Jokic. He's got a great Raptor and Sugon score. Yeah. But they're two and a half games in front of the play-in. Like, they could easily be in the play-in tournament. Adding a Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. doesn't do it to me. I get it.
How? How does that not do it? That's where I'll stand up and say that's a wild.
Because below the rim, Russell Westbrook can give Michael Porter Jr. 20 on the defense. Well, with Michael Porter Jr. defending.
Okay, so defensively, sure. But offensively, that would turn them into a top five offense in the league.
You can try and sell me on the Nuggets, but like, I just, okay.
Who's your pick? Suns or Warriors? Chris Paul's out 6 to 8 weeks. Wiseman's not going to make an impact. Like, I'm not
So what's 2 months from right
it's
now?
It's the playoffs. He's
April 21st.
Till the playoffs. He's out till the playoffs. That's big. That's big. The Grizzlies are feisty, but they're
they should
like,
just make Philly Milwaukee best of 13 for the thing, for the title.
For the Eastern Conference?
No,
title?
For the NBA title. They're clearly far and beyond two best teams in the NBA.
Based on what?
Science.
Science.
Gravity with Giannis, Embiid, Harden.
Right.
How do you guard them like that? Like,
yeah.
But you know what? I'm going to roll with the Warriors.
What is going on right now?
Draymond's out. You said it.
Coming back.
When?
In like probably a month.
Yeah, so that's a month to get to the one seed because they'll obviously win more games without Draymond. The Suns will drop without Chris Paul. I think to make up this time between now and Draymond comes back, the Warriors should all but have 3 games of separation in between Golden State and Phoenix. And with a month to go in the season, that I don't think that's enough to get it done. So you got Golden State on their home floor throughout the entire Western Conference playoffs. You have them playing one of the play-in teams right now. It's Minnesota, both LAs, and Portland. And
Portland's in the play-in?
Portland is 2 games ahead of San Antonio, yes.
Oh, my God.
The West is in the 25 and 30. The Knicks would be...
The Knicks might be hosting another playoff.
No, the Knicks would be the 10 seed in the West. Oh, same record as Portland.
That's crazy.
Same record as Portland. But you're right. This is a conference of cuties, and whoever comes out of this conference is going to get waxed by whoever comes out of the East. And it's as simple as that. I'm gonna take Golden State, though.
Okay. Yeah, I think Golden State with Draymond is still an interesting team. They were flying.
No, Golden State without Draymond.
No, with Draymond Green. That's why, Abe, I do like the Nuggets as a long shot, because the medical actually it's rare that the medical report sounds actually promising. Like, it's always dubious. We'll reevaluate. And they're saying Murray's back in a few weeks. Porter Jr. will be back before the end of the season. He's taken them to Western Conference Finals before. Phoenix has played a ton of hoops
in the bubble.
In the bubble. But he's better than Embiid, so give love there. In the Eastern
Conference, Jokic was on the bench last night in the fourth quarter.
In the Eastern Conference, I selected, they didn't let me say it on air because we were running short on time, but I was going to go with the Bucks. But I picked DeMar DeRozan to actually end up winning the MVP. Once again, this is a value thing because I couldn't confidently say Joel Embiid, Jokic, or Giannis are the best picks here. There's two.
Why is Jokic being so talked about as MVP, but a guy like Luka isn't?
Because Jokic is, like, he's freaking unbelievable. Luka's been heating up of recent. He had a really slow start to the year.
27.5, 9.9.
Yeah, he's spectacular. But, like, run through Nikola's game logs. He's the only player in the league right now that's on the Giannis and Embiid level. Like, who's putting up 29, 14, and 12 every night. You know, he's absolutely spectacular. So, he's in its truest form, I think him... No, I think all three of those guys, like, you pull them off the roster. Like, the Nuggets are non-existent. Like, I actually do think they'd be one of the worst teams in the league, realistically. Sixers, they have, you know, a max player in Tobias Harris. And then you've got the Bucks have 2 all-stars.
Who else?
Well, now they have Harden, but before
Did. Right. Yeah, just checking.
But before they didn't.
Gotcha.
I think Embiid is a favorite, and he should be. My issue with betting on him is I don't know who ends up winning the one. Plus, you do have the risk of not him not playing well with James, but stats coming down a little bit in terms of production.
Not even that. I'm with you. I think DeMar DeRozan is a good bet right now to win the MVP. I got him beat at +800. I think he's down to 120, so I'm fine with that. But, like, there's a narrative.
If you could sell your ticket today for half, for plus whatever, 400 of what, would you do it? Or you think, like, he actually
I wouldn't do it just because he's my guy. But if I wasn't a Sixers fan, I would 100% do it.
Right.
Because you have the narrative behind it, right? You have Chicago's having this great season. You have Bleacher Report tweeting DeMar DeRozan broke a Wilt Chamberlain record. And, like, everyone attaches MJ onto that.
Yeah,
MJ. They're going to be the one seed. And then you have the whole idea of, Embiid's the best player in the world right now. But there's the narrative that James Harden is coming. And if they make a push and James Harden is averaging 26-9-9, it's the whole KD Steph thing. Like, okay, they can't win it because they have each other, and that's why they dominate. And that's why I can see the only Embiid has been so dominant through the first 65% of the season, right? And he has that to fall back on. But if him and James click right away, and the Bulls keep doing what they're doing, and DeMar keeps doing what he's doing, I think you see a little bit of a narrative switch. It's like right now, Embiid was there last year. He just didn't play the enough games in order to win it. So people are familiar with him being in the MVP conversation. People aren't familiar with DeMar DeRozan. So every night that he goes out and does 35 on 18 of 22 shooting, like, it's going to be headlined everywhere, whereas it's just another night in the office for Embiid, and it's more of like a narrative thing. So I totally agree that DeMar DeRozan.
The final leg to the narrative is...
To be honest, can I be honest? Embiid's the best player on the planet. If the Bulls are the one seed, DeMar DeRozan deserves to be MVP.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, yeah, they brought in Lonzo. He's hurt. Caruso's hurt. I think LaVine has been hurt from time to time.
LaVine was doing the three-point contest, but he got his knee drained like 48 hours ago.
Even weirder, Chris Paul playing in the all... I mean, come on. Chris, you're my guy. You can't do that. That's like... That is, and you know what didn't get captured on TV that I saw in the arena? Gobert went to set a screen when it was him versus D-Book, and Chris Paul looked at him like, not only is my hand hurt, but get the fuck away from me. Like, Gobert's his awareness is lacking. But I agree that the East is so tight that there's no like, who would you rather have in terms of betting at this point? I don't mind holding the Embiid ticket. And to be clear, Giannis is still the best player in the world. But Embiid's fantastic. I'll give you that.
He's the best player in the world right now.
He's playing unbelievable basketball. He's virtually unstoppable. They were going to him late last night. I know we already talked All-Star. Things weren't going great, though. Things were not going great. That's the problem with posting late in games. Everything stops. People can double. The ball's not moving.
Can't double when you have James Harden on your team.
It's a different type of ISO. I would encourage the Sixers to run more pick and roll down the stretch versus post Embiid, use Harden as a shooter. Because I will say, Embiid's a good passer, but that, I would say, is like where he goes to. Like, if every time he got doubled.
He's vastly improved his passing out of the post.
He has. But you know what I'm talking about. Like, he's not going to kill you. Like, you want to...
Some games he does.
You would rather send the double. Against Jokic, you have to play him straight up or it's over. Like,
okay, you can double. There's James Harden now.
But James is a spot-up shooter. That's my point. Is like, that's not where the Sixers are going to kill you. It's using both of them and then letting the others kind of space the floor.
Let me fill you in on a little something here, Jack. As a diehard Sixers fan, Embiid hates rolling in the pick and roll. However, I have sources that are telling me there's a certain big man on the market who's a very productive roller in the pick and roll that the Sixers are eyeing and are set to announce in the buyout market. I don't know if I want to disclose it here, but it's a pretty big name. Derek Favors, ring that bell.
Derek Favors, wow. Okay.
Very proficient in the pick and roll.
That, I mean, with that you second unit with James. You made fun of the Nets signing Goran Dragic, but Derek Favors should be the missing piece, the same way Thaddeus Young would have been for the Heat if they had got him last season. Juwan Howard punching coaches in the face.
Nope. Thoughts? Didn't punch.
Open hand punch. Or do you call that a slap?
Slap push. Okay. Push slap.
Suspension, firing. What's the word?
Don't fire him.
I think he should be fired.
Fucking boomer.
No. And that's,
holy
that's
shit.
That's the thing. I'm not going from a boomer take here. I just don't see a path. Like, what's the explanation to... Because it wasn't a slap.
I lost my cool.
I mean, it wasn't a push.
That's what you do. You own it. You go, I lost my cool.
And as a college coach, you can't lose your cool and get physical to the head and neck region, targeting penalty. In a college
I can't game. Believe you say you think he should be fired.
I think he should be. That's the thing. You can lose your cool. You can do a lot of crazy shit. You can push.
Malice at the palace. He fucking pushed his face.
You say he didn't malice at the palace, but that could have been the start of malice at the palace.
Somebody's holding back Juwan Howard?
A Wisco player apparently clean clocked a Michigan kid right in the face. So now you're putting
players
in danger. I think it's over for him. And I think it should be. I don't see any world where hitting another coach in the face.
What if it happened in the NBA?
If it happened in the NBA, it would be more, I think it would be more acceptable. More
Monty
accepted.
Williams punches Tibbs. Bad example, because you'd be very happy if Tibbs got punched in the face. Monty Williams punches fucking Quinn Snyder.
I think he would probably live. I think he would live. But
he
I don't
would live?
I'm saying he would live to see another day. He would get, they would suspend him for a long time, but they would not fire him. I think Juwan Howard may get fired. The thing is, you're coaching college kids.
Don't say you think he should.
I do think he should get fired.
Jesus, Jack, you have changed what up
is,
on
so,
me.
So what do you think? Yeah, this is a
end
rare
of season,
circumstance.
Suspended to the end of the season. I mean, they're not going to make the tournament anyway, right?
I mean, they could get towards the bubble, but it's, yeah. But that's another thing is, like, is it just a token firing, right? Are we just, suspension? Are we just suspending because they're out of it and we're setting an example? You just can't hit people in the face as a coach because of a, I don't want to say it wasn't disrespectful, although Juwan Howard did do that to Rutgers early in the season. I just don't, like, it wasn't that deep. So
it's not that deep to get fired either.
I don't know. I don't think you can do that.
You're right. You can't do that, but you don't get fired over it.
I don't know.
It's competition. It's competition.
Between the players.
The coaches have skin in the game, too. I'm not saying it's right to hit another coach in the face. It is if you're trying to entertain me on the timeline. But to get fired over it? Fired?
It would be extreme. I agree. Have we ever seen anything like this before?
Bob Knight used to do the craziest shit.
He used to throw chair. That's my point.
That was endangering people.
But I'm curious. Is that... Remember when Djokovic got kicked out of the tournament because he kind of accidentally hit a ball boy or ball girl with the ball? Mm-hmm. Right? The outrage, but also like the rule. Now, that was the official rule. It was like, all right, that's why you don't put yourself in those positions. You don't just randomly spray balls around. It's the same reason. Like, what if he breaks his nose? What if he... I don't know.
Yeah, what if, Jack? It didn't happen.
But because it didn't happen isn't what it should be judged on. It's what could have happened by those
You are
actions.
A fucking narc.
Speaking of that...
I did not expect this.
Speaking of that, can you... What's good with, like, Markieff Morris? I feel like that would be talked about a little bit. Did he ever come back?
No, he's still, like, almost paralyzed.
That's kind of wild.
Yeah, it is wild.
Anyway, sports that allow
if you want to fire someone, it's fucking Jokic.
Sports that allow fighting. Let's get the Canadian in here. I mean, it's
what a beautiful rendition of "O Canada" by our boy Eagleson at the All Star game last night.
It's controlled. It's allowed. There's regulations to it. It's our favorite sport.
Yeah, Eagleson, what do you think? Obviously, you saw on the timeline the Juwan Howard thing. What's your reaction to Jack saying that he should be fired?
I don't think he should be fired. Sorry,
no
Jack.
No shit.
It was an open hand.
Apologize.
Open hand punch. I don't think he should be fired.
That is a major differentiation.
It was a push. It was a push.
No,
it was an open hand punch, though.
Like, I'll agree with you there.
It was an open hand
It was not
punch.
A slap.
If you are Juwan, and you do get fired for this bullshit, how mad are you? Like, damn it. If I got fired, like, I should have...
See, I didn't know that he did that to Rutgers earlier in the season, though. That makes me not have any, like, respect for it. You did that, and you're going to get mad and hit another coach, and you did the exact same thing? Sorry.
Exactly.
We don't know what was said. There was a don't touch me. The other coach kept touching him.
Abe, closed fist punch, fired or still no?
Be pretty sick.
If you just bop in the head. Because I think that goes to tell, like, you know, how you feel about the situation.
Yeah, closed fist indicates more to me like, all right, let's scrap.
Right.
The push of the face is more of like a disrespectful.
Wasn't a push, though. Wasn't a push.
Yes, it was. It was a slap, and once he reached the skin, he then pushed his head away.
Rewatch the clip.
The closed hand clocking, like, cross to the temple is more like, okay, I'm intentionally trying to fuck you up.
Right.
That what I saw from Juwan wasn't, I'm intentionally trying to fuck you up. It's you're pissing me off, and I'm going to lose my cool, but I can still contain it in a certain way.
That was contained. Eagleson, you've got 72 hours to show the world why hockey is the preferred sport of your psychotic country.
Speaking of which, let me open up the NHL standings. I just got an error message. Yeah. Are you sure you want to open up?
Before Eagleston does go on his 1 minute.
Oh, the Flyers are legitimately.
Hold on. I want to share.
Go ahead.
I want to share some news I found out upon, and that I'm upset with Eagleston over. Abe, I don't know if you have the standings up. Do you know the team in last place?
I was just going to say that.
We haven't heard from Eagleston.
No, because I was just literally about
to say. I'm looking at it right now. The Flyers and the Kraken are two of the worst teams in hockey. My two teams.
Find the team.
There's another team.
Lowest amount of points.
Dead last in the entire
league. The Kraken.
No, go to overall.
The Canadiens.
Yes, dead last in the whole league. That's what I was going
to
say.
Am I supposed to be surprised by that?
They were in the Stanley Cup last year. And that was the team Eagles.
How am I supposed to know that?
Come on.
Who else was in the Stanley Cup last year?
Do you need a minute? Do you need more?
I don't think I need a minute at all. Like, there's not been any headlines, really, for hockey. The season's just been chugging along. I was really just going to come on here and say Montreal sucks and they're in last place. I called preseason.
And Toronto is doing great.
And they've been doing amazing. Did you guys see Matthews lose a tooth the other game?
No.
He ran face first into the post.
We're talking about hockey. You can cut off the sentence when you say, did you see?
No, I see stuff from time to time. Yeah. But I don't. Matthew, who to who?
Matthews. Austin Matthews of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
What did he do?
He ran like face first into the post of the net and knocked a tooth out. But he had a pretty funny quote. I guess I can probably put it in here after. But the reporter asked him, like, what was going through your head when that happened? He's like, oh, you know, I saw the net and I saw the post and I thought, what would happen if I put my face right through it? Just kind of hockey players don't really give much personality, so that's kind of funny.
Yeah, how many hockey players think that Juwan Howard should be fired?
Probably not a very high amount of them.
Probably not, but hey, it's great to see that your Leafs are doing great.
Yeah.
My bad. Yeah, so you're in. You're all in on them, right?
100%.
Chips in the middle, cup or bust.
They made a trade a few days ago.
Perfect. Perfect.
Like, it was one of the perfect trades I was imagining.
Yep. Got rid of their pick and roll guy. They're ready to go.
Exactly. Yep.
And you're 18 now. Have you put $100 Canadian on them to win it all?
I haven't put I'm actually going to do that, but I've been on Underdog doing some stuff. It is in Canada. I'm not winning a whole lot, but I am going to put a future on the Leafs.
You know how that shit goes.
Yeah. I figured, how do I get the snapback headband for my Underdog avatar?
Wouldn't you like to know?
I would.
Wouldn't
like
you
know.
Like to know? We'll have to run another contest to get you the headband.
Okay.
It's like if you beat me in a draft.
Oh, okay. It's one.
We
of
did
those
a
things.
Hockey
okay.
draft. Maybe you'd actually be able to beat me.
Yeah.
But you're a Leafs fan, so you don't really actually know anything about.
I think the Colorado Avalanche are going to win the championship.
They're a hot team.
They are hot. I don't know if they're going to win.
I do.
Okay.
Eagleson, what's your funny story? That you have for us.
Have you guys ever been bitten by a dog?
Like aggressively
that.
Bitten, like
right,
nibbled,
like
a
cute push, open hand push, or like bitten,
like blood drawn.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
So I was at a little, not a party. Trudeau, please don't seize my bank account. We are under the legal limit of people. And, you know, we were just screwing around. I was going to, like, jump on my friend's back. And then this dog comes out of nowhere and bites me right in the ass. Like, right in the left ass cheek. Drew blood and everything. Not quite like that. But I turned around. I was like, what the fuck? And there's this dog bit me in the ass. And there's a giant bloody mark.
Well, was it the owner of the person's back you jumped on?
No. It was the, like, this... Mm. No, it was the, like, obviously, like, the house that we were at. It was their dog. The person.
Yeah, well, you got him riled up, and that's it. You got to know that you got to know your pups that
you're
around.
I didn't even know the dog was there. We weren't, like, screwing with the dog or anything. We were just doing our own thing. I didn't even know he was there.
So is this the time where Jack and I are supposed to ask, like, how's your ass?
No. Just funny story. I got bit in the ass by a dog.
He bruised up?
Yeah, no, like, there's a full-on mark. There's blood and everything.
Did you play through it like a hockey player?
Oh, of course. Come on.
You gonna ask for the dog to be fired?
I have not reached out for any discipline for the dog, no.
Put the dog down.
Jesus, Jack!
Just jokes.
No, I don't think you are. You've never really been a dog person.
No, I am now. All right. Well, stay safe up there, because I know, you know, things are interesting. Sure. We've got Abe's birthday a week from today, next Monday, which means the Sixers play the Knicks next Sunday.
Are you going to Harden, second game? You going to go?
Are you going on vacation? You are.
Oh, I'll be in Puerto Rico Sunday.
All right.
But if something happens and it gets canceled, I'll see you at the Garden.
Fair play. Eagleson, final thoughts.
Go Leafs.
Go Leafs, baby. And Avalanche. Can they play in the Stanley Cup?
Yes.
They can.
Cool. Jack, don't act like you knew that. You know what? Before we go, let's play a little game. Jack. Eagleson, don't answer this. Jack. Hypothetically speaking, can the Florida Panthers and the Minnesota Wild play each other in the Stanley Cup?
Oof. Minnesota? I think they're in the West, so yes.
Correct. Jack, can the Chicago Blackhawks and the Ottawa Senators play each other in the Stanley Cup?
No, they're both
my hometown Senators.
Nope, East and West.
who is? Chicago's in the East?
Chicago's in the West.
Ottawa's in the East.
Ottawa's in the East.
Jack.
Isn't Ottawa out far west?
Jack.
Ottawa's 20 minutes from me. We're on the East Coast.
Jack, can the Colorado Avalanche and the Arizona Coyotes play in the Stanley Cup?
No, because Arizona's eliminated from playoff contention.
Arizona's also not a real team. They're going to play in a college stadium with 5,000 seats. They are a fake franchise.
Jack, can the Nashville Predators and the San Jose Sharks play each other in the Stanley Cup?
They're west.
Can the Edmonton Oilers... And
it's the Canadian teams that throw me off.
I know. And can the Edmonton Oilers and the Carolina Hurricanes play each other?
I think Carolina's east and who is it? Edmonton? I think they're west.
So yes. All right.
Nice.
Not bad.
Nice.
I would have gotten so many of those wrong.
Yeah, you got to throw it. Nashville is a good one, but they are
East. Chicago being in the West is a nice trick.
Yeah, that one's a tough
one. What else could I trick you on? I could trick you on. Nah, I mean everything else is really. Can the Calgary Flames and the St. Louis Blues play each other in the Stanley Cup?
No, they're both West. I know my Western team.
All right.
Well, I know East better, but I know who's not.
I know none of that. But all right, that's enough of who does.
That's enough hockey. Hockey fans, you've got 72 hours to us how good the sport is. I know I won't be watching, but...
Baseball fans, you're still locked out.
All right, you know what? Toronto plays Montreal tonight. I'll go put... How much should I put on that? I'll let you guys decide this for me. 18 now. Why not? Okay, look in your eyes and I already regret this.
Time out. All right. But in our states, like, you would have to put odds on that, like to win by two goals there's a big underdog contest right now, Eagle Sim. Monday puck drop, $5, $5,000 of prizes, or the empty netter, $15 entry, $1,200 of prizes.
Wow.
Or you give me a pick'em winner, Peter Mrazek, over under 25.5 saves. John Tavares, over a half assist. John Tavares, 3 shots. Morgan Riley, 2.5 shots. Sam Montembeault, 30.5 saves. Josh Anderson, 2 shots. What do you like there?
Pick me a winner. The Tavares over assists.
Okay.
And
hockey assists count, so.
And I would take the under in it, Tavares shots as well.
Really?
Yeah, he usually sits in front of the net, and he'd more tip pucks in, if anything. Okay.
Well, I can only take ones of Tavares.
Only one.
So who do you like? Yeah, who do you like? Or what do you like better?
The over on assist.
And then I need it from Montreal. Sam Montembeault, 30.5 saves, or Anderson, 2 shots? Over, under?
Ooh, saves. Saves on the over.
You think so?
Good game out of Sam tonight.
Last time I watched... Leafs game, the opposing goalie had about 48 saves. So.
Yeah, so like, and he's the same kind of guy that we could just get goalied by as kind of a nobody. So,
all right, that's what I'm taking.
Yeah,
let's go, Johnny T. I'm locked in. All right, we really have talked too much hockey. So
72 Eagleson, more hours of it.
Thank you, Abraham. Happy early birthday, Snapback fam. Much love. Peace.